I would say the big problem is banking in Canada. Banking in Canada is often called an oligopoly. It's very small, it's tight, it's slow moving. It is secure, so I will give it that, just because it's very, it's a lot more secure than some of the banking systems in the US. But it means we're a little bit slow in terms of development and innovation. So Payloo is a solution on the innovative side that helps to leverage bank services and payments services for folks who have challenges getting banking relationships.
Hey, and welcome to the Momentum Podcast, the show where fintech meets AI. I'm your host, Stan Altschuler, investor, founder, and advisor to some of the world's top hedge funds, asset managers, and data companies. Each week, we'll dive into practical AI strategies to help you cut through the noise, beat data overload, build smarter workflows, and turn your ideas into results. We'll explore everything from AI tools for your daily workflows to building data-driven growth engines for your organizations. Here, you'll discover what's next in finance and how to stay ahead of the curve with AI. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Momentum Podcast, where we explore how fintech's top builders and operators are tackling today's challenges and the tech that they're using. Today, we're joined by Shay Malcolmson at Payloo. It's a payment solution platform. We're going to dig deep into what led him here, what he's building now, how his clients are using the platform, and where he sees payments and the whole ecosystem going forward. So hi, Shay, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Stan. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So we're going to just jump right in. Maybe you can give us a background and tell us how you got here and what it is that you're currently working on.
For sure. Let's start with the educational backgrounds. I am based in Winnipeg, a small city in Canada, for those that aren't familiar, not in one of the big cities like Toronto or Vancouver. I've started from humble beginnings here in Winnipeg. I'm a University of Manitoba graduate in economics and labor studies and management, which means that I studied a lot of policy, did a lot of labor work. I actually worked for a research company in the West and was a published researcher for decolonizing arts and entertainment funding. I had a lot of history in sort of the social impact and the entertainment industry previous to payments, which is an interesting sort of turn.
Yeah.
University of Manitoba graduate. And then recently I graduated from my master's in business from Carleton. It's also a focus in management and change. That was recently, and now I'm exploring my PhD. So that's a bit of an educational background. I've really started out, like I said, in the arts, entertainment, social impact side of things. I was the founder of one of Canada's largest music festivals for underserved music genres called the Northern Touch Music Festival. Spent a lot of time helping to secure funding for artists that typically were not the first in line for funding. Most of that was geared toward people of color, the Indigenous communities here in Manitoba. Myself personally, I was also an artist, so I'd experienced a lot of those struggles and challenges, which is what I was doing. Then I spent a good 6 years touring and being a touring artist and producer. I started out in payments a long time ago, where I was processing checks. Worked for a company called Intria and also SimCorp here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, doing checks. And then I stopped for a while, got into the social impact side, nonprofit side, built up that company. And then actually, as I moved back into payments, kind of about the time around COVID, and essentially got into the digital payment side. So now that's where I've landed. Payloo is a digital payments provider. And so we offer
what an arc. That's incredible. I interrupted you for just a second. Stations with folks that have this multidisciplinary overview of life and work. It's funny, I didn't realize before we booked this podcast that you and I share a common love for music. I did not realize that. We always kind of talked about work and the solutions you're providing. But I used to actually organize music festivals when they got kind of big. In upstate New York, we used to do these big festivals. And in Pennsylvania, we used to organize concerts for Russian musicians. So basically, I guitar myself. It's definitely not a professional by any means, but I really do enjoy music. I enjoy folk music. They call them bards, bard music. It's basically kind of guitar voice. It is hard to organize a music festival and to have it go smooth. It's a lot of logistics and planning. And it's like, I find that it works the other part of your brain, right? Like I've got finance and investment management on this part, and you just need that balance, that break, that respite from the work you do to actually make money, something for your soul and for your heart. That is a very cool part of your background. And I apologize I interrupted you, but keep going. We just kind of, we're diving into Payloo and the background story and what it is you do now.
Yeah. And so essentially, I think that you're absolutely correct. I think that when you have some balance in your life, you have better perspective. So I think that creative thinking is problem solving thinking. So I did learn during that period of time how to be a problem solver, how to manage a lot of different expectations, stakeholders, how to deal with some of those things, time management and relationship management. So I think I gained a lot of that right brain thinking and brought it into some of the finance side of things. Working at a fintech, it's not traditional finance, right? It's not a bank. It's the innovative, creative, right brain side of the finance world. I ended up at Payloo, a new company we launched just over 6.5 years ago. There were 4 executive directors and founders, all of which had worked in the banking industry. I came on as the fresh creative thinker from the entertainment industry, started writing blogs, and then realized that I understood the product and could sell really good. And fast forward 6.5 years later, I'm director of sales.
Wow, what an amazing story arc there. That's fantastic. Can you dig in a little bit into who your core clients are, who you're serving at Payloo? Talk to me about what are their pain points. What is the big problem that you are solving for them, for the clients that you're focused on?
Yeah, in a nutshell, I would say the big problem is banking in Canada. Banking in Canada is often called an oligopoly. It's very small, it's tight, it's slow moving. It is secure, so I will give it that, just because it's very, you know, it's a lot more secure than some of the banking systems in the US. But it means we're a little bit slow in terms of development and innovation. So Payloo is a solution on the innovative side that helps to leverage bank services and payments services for folks who have challenges getting banking relationships. The folks that typically have challenges with banking relationships are the ones that are considered to be, quote unquote, high risk. Right. I don't like to necessarily call them all high risk. Sometimes that's new emerging technologies, emerging markets, places where there isn't as much historical data. So it's a little riskier because it's new. We basically facilitate payments and services, banking services or banking similar services. We're not a bank, but as a fintech, to clients that are in industries that have challenges with their banking relationships.
And this term high risk, it's really interesting. Even in the US, banking's had a lot of consolidation in the past few decades. There's basically like a few big players that control most of the banking and financial services, and it's very centralized. It's also slow. When you talk about high risk segment, it's not really high risk the way you and I would think of it. From the perspective of the traditional bank, it might be a less traditional business model, maybe a newer business model. They are just not built to deal with those kind of folks yet.
Yeah. And so you're exactly right. Whatever KPIs they're using to do their risk analysis on somebody, we take different approaches and look at different metrics. For instance, I'll use just a very basic example. A new Canadian who just arrived, an immigrant, might go into the bank and ask for an account. And of course, once they go to open their account, the bank is going to look, do they have any history in Canada, that sort of thing. Immediately with no history, despite where you're from and who you are, you're going to be considered as more high risk because of the metric they're using. Whereas, you know, for somebody, a fintech like us, you know, if a new Canadian has a business idea that they have basically created and the flow of funds and everything looks good and there isn't any risk necessarily, not that there isn't any risk, but we've looked at it and we've assessed the risk and we find it not to be high risk, you know, just because you're a new Canadian who started a business, then we can help get you operational. And of course, over time, through the data and the transactions, we can know what is and isn't high risk. So I think what we've developed in terms of an interesting perspective on the industry is that we now know from what would be deemed as high risk, the bucket of high risk for the bank, we've been able to tease out the spectrum of what really is high risk and what is a little less high risk and able to service those.
And how it translates into actually operating with this business. And that seems to be like, that sort of information would be very valuable to these banks, right? They would probably love to know that granular detail, what really is high risk, because they just throw everything into one big bucket and probably missing out on a lot of business, frankly, for not a really good reason, because there's not actual evidence to back up that this is truly a high risk business.
Yeah, they can't get down to the individual level like that, right? So again, for instance, let's say a country was put on the gray list, you know, regulatory gray list. Immediately, as soon as that happens, the bank may choose that anybody from those countries at all, not even entertain a conversation or figure out what you're actually trying to accomplish. Can we actually help you? You're right. It opens up a large gap. The banks, bless them for what they are just slower, not willing to take some of those chances and risks. They're more focused on a certain type of client. So we get a little bit more unique. a little more customizable, a little bit more, you know, learn, you know, what's a good fit and how we could benefit somebody. A little bit more, I would say, personalized.
Yeah. No, that's great. Most of my conversations with fintech executives and leaders gravitate towards AI, and I always ask a couple of questions about the latest technology. Yeah. I'm a nerd about it. I'm drinking out of the fire hose constantly and trying to follow the latest model releases and all that. It's kind of crazy. But, you know, in your working with clients through the services that you provide, is there room for AI to help you, you know, perform those services better? Do you use currently anything that just wasn't available like 2 years ago to take it up a notch and be able to just show up better and with like either better customer service or a better product? How are you thinking about that?
Not unlike the internet has touched on every aspect of the business. So it's like an onion.
Right.
I use it just in my business efficiency, writing emails, summarizing things. So I'm using it on a personal level just to be a better sales person and to be a more effective and efficient employee. Then you have the layer of the customer side. So can AI work as AI agents for customer stuff? I think there's an opportunity there. We currently don't do it. We have a team that deals with tickets as they're incoming, dealing with customer inbound requests and that sort of thing. But can I see AI having some part in that? Absolutely. Sure. So the personal side, then you have the internal operational side, compliance, security. Right. I mean, AI is going to be an incredible tool when it comes to identifying KYT, KYC, any of the compliance related things. From a compliance and security perspective, they'll be able to notice some of the transactions and be able to flag certain things.
So for those who don't know, KYC is know your customer. And I take it KYT is the same thing just for transactions, every transaction.
Yeah. So being able to know the transaction, particularly, and of course, now that we're living in a world where it's fiat and blockchain,
right,
being able to do end-to-end transaction monitoring and knowing where the transaction source of funds and destination of funds is, even when it crosses into a new monetary system, because it goes from a monetary system to a digital monetary system. KYT would be the tracking of all that. AI will be helpful there. So AI is helpful in personal operations, interdepartmental operations. I think it is going to benefit security. I also think it will likely be helpful in terms of other operations from the sales side and all that sort of thing, just in terms of customer management. I think that you're not automating out humanity here. You're just trying to make things more efficient and be more omnipresent. I actually don't think that humans are designed to be that omnipresent at any given point in time. So I think that AI is actually, from a KYT perspective, when you look at transactional data, like we can't read the matrix like that. We can see certain things. We're human and we can catch on certain patterns, but AI being able to be omnipresent and monitor things on that level is going to be a game changer.
You hit on a really key point that I just want to underscore that keeps coming up in my conversations. I feel like there's two ways of looking at it, and I really like yours. The two ways are, hey, I'm going to build an AI agent and it's going to replace Debbie in the accounting department or Philip. And I'm not crazy about that use case, just personally, because I'm also a human and we all have jobs and just want to be better at our jobs. But the other way of coming at it is, we're not going to replace Debbie or Frank or Philip, but we're going to give them the tools to be 3 times more efficient, or maybe 2 times more efficient, or maybe even 50% more efficient, whatever. But we're going to invest in the tools for them, and that investment is going to come back to us, because not only are we investing in our employees and creating value for them, they are going to turn around and create value for us, right? Because then they could do customer service better, they could do KYC better, they could deliver the products and services and the offerings that whatever you do to clients, you know, at that much more efficacy, that much better. That's the use case that makes me hopeful, just like you. I try to use AI for everything that I do right now with my content agency, as well as my AI agency at Momentum Forge. So we do a lot of work and I always speak to clients. I'm like, how are you thinking about it? And the stories where they say, we're going to make our employees better. We're going to have them, you know, cover more context, like what you're saying, right? It's almost impossible for a human to be fully context aware. Actually, AI models struggle with that too, but you can build multiple agents. One tracks just the news, right? What's going on in the news? You don't want to be reading every single line. You want AI to do that. And the other one tracks the customers, like how's usage, how's retention, right? So if you deploy an army of AI agents that encompasses a much wider context than humans can process even, right? That's what machines are good for.
Yeah, I think you're not creating a self-driving car here. I mean, essentially you are, and again, you're not automating out humanity. At the end of the day, you're synthesizing information at a faster and more efficient pace. It's like saying that when Google launched, for instance, that now that people can Google how to do a repair at home, there'll never be a handyman
ever. Unlikely, right? So, you know how to do stuff, but like you still want someone to come in and actually do it, right?
Yeah, you'll never automate out humanity. And so, I mean, it's just the synthesis of data, the ability to be more efficient with data, and context does matter in those cases. But yeah, that's where I see it.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. I love that. Can you bring it back a little bit into the real world and maybe give us an anecdote? You don't have to mention a client's name or anything like that, but maybe an anecdote of how you were able to solve a real problem for a client. Maybe give us a little bit about who the client was, where they worked, and the challenge they were facing. And if you used AI or not, that doesn't matter. But how were you able with Apello to solve the problem for them?
Yeah, for sure. We have helped a lot to solve problems. The real issue comes down to access to banking services, payment processing, payment services. My favorite stories are always the one, and I will bring it back to the new Canadian sort of immigrant story, just because of my own background being from Manitoba and being Indigenous. It's always been, I always want to support communities. And so for me, when I see a new immigrant come to Canada, have a cool idea about how to send money back home and is building out an app, I've seen them get rejected or heard stories of them being rejected from the banks numerous times, just because maybe you're from Nigeria or Cameroon and we don't have a history with you and your business looks great, but we can't serve you, whatever. Yep. A lot of times they've been rejected, and I get it. Like, I'm not saying that I don't understand where it comes from, but I get the pleasure of saying yes. And so some of the stories that I love are just watching somebody go from idea conception to being able to grow their business. I have some folks that are immigrant families, got a couple of kids, became friends with them. Now they've scaled to the point where they're comfortable. Sometimes it's their side business, but like I get to see them now, you know, love being in Canada, being successful, thriving, watch the kids grow up with, you know, success and stuff. So that's my favorite part, honestly. It's not even the big businesses. It's somebody that's like a medium-sized business that worked at the bank and is working on something on the side. And now they came to Canada to be successful and to find a place to thrive. And they're doing so.
That's
and
really I'm rewarding.
That story.
Can you give me a specific, like what type of business? I know that you work with folks that
Remittance companies, like that's a big one, like Western Union. Western Union has for a long time been the only way to send money back home to a lot of different countries.
Right.
And those can run up to 8%, 10% in terms of transaction
fees. Very expensive. Right? So, I mean, it's very expensive to send money somewhere.
Very expensive. And so then by the time you send $100 back home, if they're taking $10 or $15 of that, in some countries, that's a month's worth of food or 3 weeks worth of food. So it may seem on our side that it's not a lot, but for somebody on the receiving side, it can be a lot. Some folks will have new ways to send money back home or new apps, and we've been able to provide them with the payment processing, the embedded payments, the API that's required, and helping them with their merchant account.
So if you were to put on your visionary hat for a second and look a few years out, what are the biggest opportunities for maybe your clients or folks you've worked with? What are some of the things that you're excited about? You can talk about how technology is playing a role in that, or you don't really have to, but how do you see the space evolving and where are we going, kind of like really high level?
Yeah, I think AI is going to touch on things as much as the internet did. I think we're so early in that conversation. I'm going to be interested to see how it effectively changes the financial services industry. Interesting to see how a lot of the big banks implement it and then how a lot of the fintechs implement it and how they're using it. So those are the things I'm excited for. Right now, there's new regulations in Canada. It's a little less sexy than AI, but the retail payments, the RPAA regulatory framework is ongoing. So I'm interested to see what's happening there, just in terms of the changes to the regulatory environment. But from an innovation standpoint, I really also am interested in seeing where the fiat blockchain sort of conversation lands.
Yeah.
That's still an ongoing conversation. People are still investing into Bitcoin.
Sure.
But generally watching ledger technology and whether or not we will flip to a new monetary system, which could be the case with the amount of governments getting involved. I feel like we're right on the verge of a very interesting time because of the emerging technologies, the regulatory environment, and the market demand. I just think it's a very, very interesting time.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. And I feel like we're at this nexus, at this inflection, right? Everything is coming to a head with AI, crypto regulation, and geopolitics. There's so many things in flux in the world right now. It's kind of tough sometimes to keep your bearings and focus on our fundamentals and keep running the business and keep caring and loving your loved ones, your family, and your friends. Check in on yourself once in a while. Yeah, but that's it certainly feels like it's everything's moving at a faster pace right now than a decade ago.
Oh, yeah. And that's funny because even though those things are happening, I'm actually the opposite. As soon as I'm ready, I'm disconnecting. I'm like, you know, homestead. I'm going to go live back like the way my ancestors used to live and live off the land a bit. So I'm ready to disconnect at a certain point. But yeah, right for right now, I'm enjoying the hustle and bustle and the fast pacedness of it.
So. Oh, I love it. Well, you and me both. Listen, Shay, thank you so much for your insight, for the anecdotes, for the overview of Apalo and what you do there and the arc of how you got there. Really insightful, really great. Any parting words, anything you want to say to maybe someone who is right in your wheelhouse for a client and they're struggling to find a financial partner? What do you want to say to them if you had a megaphone, you could reach all of your prospects?
I would say if you have challenges with the banking relationship and you need to make payments, just call us. We are Canadian based. We're Canadian accounts and we deal with Canadian customers. So if it's the Canadian market you're trying to access, then we're the ones to call. Generally speaking, I would say just give us a call if you're having that challenge, because for the Canadian market, we've got that solved and we can likely help.
Right, you've heard him, people. So call Shay. We're going to have his contact information and link and email right underneath this video. Please do reach out. Shay, thank you so much once again.
Thanks, Dan. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning into Momentum. If you found today's episode valuable, don't forget to follow the show and share it with your network. This helps us a lot. To explore how AI can help your firm, visit acadia.im. I'm Stan Altschuler, and I'll see you next week with more practical insights to help turn data into growth and decisions into results with the help of AI.